Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Roll up, roll up. Welcome back, viewers. My name is Dorothy May. My special guest here, Jack Edwards.
Hey, I'm Jack. I promise. I'm not lying at all.
Oh, God, that is me.
Is it?
I don't know. It sounds very much
You're like breaking
me.
Out in a sweat, man. Oh, my gosh. No, we were totally kidding. We were lying. This is not Jack. I is not Jack. Who is Jack?
That sounds like me.
You is Jack.
That sounds like me. That's freaky.
I am Dottie and you are Jack. We are here at the Humor Experiment Podcast speaking to you today. And may I just say, guys, I have missed you this month while I haven't been releasing podcasts. I'm so excited to be back in your earbuds and joining you, entertaining you, making you feel good on your commute to work, potentially on your morning jog. Whew, that's ambitious. Don't feel bad if that's not you. It's not me either. Who really jogs in the morning? Not me. So I'm so glad to be joined by Jack today. It is Jack Edwards. Give him a round of applause. Wow! The large studio audience and Zoom is delighted to say hello.
You know, actually, that's the response that people give me when they see me.
Really? They just make animal sounds?
They just make animal noises, you know? It's
what's
just...
your go-to animal sound?
Oh, my go-to animal sound would be...
Oh, yeah.
I think that's maybe an animal choking itself. I don't know. That's really dark.
If you were an animal, what would you be?
Oh, a chameleon.
Okay.
Come on, come on, come on.
Just
come
so you can
on,
sing that song?
Yes, of course. Why else?
So you can fit in lots of places.
Yeah, actually, that's...
Is that relevant to you and your everyday life, do you think?
Well, I mean, as an actor, yeah, I think I have to be.
Oh, exactly.
What
a stupid question. Let me just smash this baby grand piano to pieces. Again. It's so nice to have you in today. I've got you in as a guest because we met recently at an audition. That was super fun.
It was a super fun audition.
We got to play. Oh, we won't give it away what audition it was, just to keep it like a little bit on the private side. Is that weird?
No, that's not weird at all.
No, yeah. It's good. It's good to keep some stuff like under wraps. Anyway, look, it was just an audition. It was like a kid's sort of
fun little role.
Yeah. And you did some really great stuff. I love watching your stuff at that audition. You did a really cool robot dance.
You did a really cool pirate thing.
Oh my god,
your pirate thing was awesome.
Stop it. Are we cool?
You were first up. No. You were like, I was like, I was not expecting this at all.
Good, that's what I like to do.
It was really cool. It was really
Yay.
Cool.
Arr.
Have you done it for your viewers?
Have I done a pirate before?
Yeah, for your viewers.
I have a secret joy of being a pirate.
It's a secret fantasy thing of mine. Based on it.
Yeah, but I'm always a pirate dude. I'm never a pirate chick. Oh, actually... No, I had this alter ego when I was living in Byron Bay that I whipped out for Halloween. And I was a pirate and my name was Match.
You do it so well.
Because...
Oh, my God, I'm so jealous.
It's because I'm obsessed with it. Do you know why my name was Match?
No, what? Tell me.
It's because if any pirates try to cross me, I would light a single match and burn their ships to the ground.
Hey, you're brutal. That's a yeah, brutal was. Pirate.
And thing. Then I'd laugh like that. I'd go. And so they'd just be like, "Is it, what is this nut job doing?"
It's called acting.
It's called something. It's called confusion. I do love pirates. And I also used to take children's pool parties.
Oh.
And I went as like, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow once. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just remembering.
No, beautiful. Go.
Oh, my God. I'm just remembering like being in the pool and then the Jack Sparrow wig dreads just like me just looking like a drowned rat with like the eye makeup and that and like the kids just screaming and like and me having no authority, me being just like this crazy drowned rat version of Jack Sparrow trying to do a pool party.
I mean, a crazy rat.
Oh, my God.
Is like, isn't that Captain Jack Sparrow anyway?
Yeah, but it was a really sad, sad rat. I mean, Jack Sparrow still got swagger. I was swaggerless at that point.
Swagger. I haven't heard that word since 2010.
It's probably not the right word for a pirate. Culture clash, but...
Arr, got arr, swagger.
Arr, I guess I'm swaggering around the ship. I just love going, arr. Give me your best arr.
Ah.
And actually, you helped me out in that bit, didn't you? Because I got you up as a participant
yes,
in my
Yes, I was the
bit.
Kid.
And I was putting you to sleep.
It was so weird.
My stuff is always really weird.
But that's the joy of it, really.
Do you know why I do that, though? I just get so, like... oh, I just feel like I just want to rip off my human being suit.
That's a thing that I've never heard someone say.
Rip off my own flesh. Because I get so sick of feeling repressed and constrained in society. Yeah. Like, there are just so many rules.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, so many rules. Like, I teach children. I'm enforcing rules all day. I know that there are a lot of them. Don't touch each other. Don't make sounds. Don't talk while someone else is speaking. All of that.
Speaking of rules and, like, children's entertainment thing, I heard there was a thing in The Wiggles that they can't, like, point. So that's why they do the wiggle, like, finger thing is because it's a safe
thing to
do.
It's not PC. It's like if it's a moving target, it's okay. Yeah. It's less threatening than if you just, you're still, you might actually shoot and get them.
I just got this image of a sniper. It's like, okay, he's like wiggling his sniper.
Like an actual gunman
yeah, like
doing it like that.
Gunman,
just so
like...
it's like less threatening. No, now I'm more threatened. I don't know where that bullet's going, man. Like, I'm gone. But anyway, back to you. I love that you made me feel good. But back to you. This robot thing, yep. Holy moly. So guy, for our listeners, this guy just whipped out this whole robotic. It was popping, yeah?
Yeah,
that's a style.
Popping, locking, yeah. Isolation.
Robot, like, routine. It was insanely good. And, like, I've seen some decent poppers in my time. I did a bit of popping myself.
Oh.
The muscles aren't crash hot right now. They're not popping. They're more just... they're slobbing. Is that a new style yet? No, I'm going to create
I mean,
it.
You can, yeah.
It's... slobbing. It's called laying there with music playing. But you have skills, man. And
thank
you were
you.
Saying you just, you're self-taught.
Yeah, self-taught.
Dude,
I had a few people and, like, I had a guy named Brett Grinke. He's in, like, NRL at the moment. He does the robot. He taught me
Yay.
The robot.
That's
and then,
awesome.
And then as a kid, I watched a lot of Michael Jackson doing the robot when he was a kid and stuff like that. And so I just got inspired and just started trying to do it myself.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
How many hours do you practice? Do you practice on the daily?
Yeah, daily. I do it in the shower. Like it's like people singing in the shower.
Oh, so you just kind of like work it into your literal everyday
and
random
of,
stuff.
And a lot of my friends and people I hang out with are like, Jack, do you have to do that here? And I'm like...
You're like, where else am I going to do
it? Exactly. I'm like, I'm in like...
I'm not going to robot go to robot school just so I can robot.
I can't do robot school like this. That was a bad robot.
Do you reckon you'd fit in at robot school?
No.
You'd be too human. Oh,
I'd
see,
be,
this is the
I'd
problem
be,
of living in between worlds, isn't it? As creatives,
I'd
it's
be
so
too,
tough.
Like, I'd be full of errors and everything. Robot school would be, like, mathematically perfect.
That's terrifying.
I would be so bad at that. Because I'd be, like...
Be a real
you know,
clown.
A piece, D degrees, but like on the robot level.
Crazy.
Yeah.
No, very, very, very cool skills. What makes you laugh, Mr. Jack?
Wow.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's the train.
Oh, we got to get this train rolling. Oh. Okay.
No, 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 that's okay. It'll come back later. We'll use it in an improvisation. We'll just wait for it to leave. No, it's fine. We're not catching this train. Okay, back to you, Jack.
Anything really makes me laugh. I'm such a giggly person.
Yay, me too.
I've been giggling like at random things. I'm looking at Dottie right now and like she's about to smile and oh no, I didn't mean it like that. See, look, the laugh's coming on. It's coming. That's not great. But a lot of things make me laugh. I started watching a series called Barry.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's about it's a dark comedy about a assassin hitman who starts becoming an actor.
Oh, that's an obvious choice.
Yeah, no, it's a different choice.
Channel it.
Yeah, no, and that's what they tell him to do when they're doing when he's doing emotional scenes. He's like, oh yeah, use like some whatever memory or mink it up or something. And he has memories of killing guys.
Ooh.
And like feeling sad and sorry about
that's
it.
That's next level emotional memory.
Yeah, and then he does it and they're like, good, keep going to that place, but it's really messing with him.
Oh. But it's a comedy.
It's a comedy.
Where's the humor come from?
So Bill Hader.
Yeah.
He's from Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And he, I don't know, something about his expressions in these situations make it really funny.
And it's intentionally funny. He's working it.
Oh, yeah, he's working it, absolutely. Nice,
but it's in the script as well.
It's in the script as well, yeah. There's jokes that, like, and characters that would pop out. There's, like, a really...
Is it like a parody a little bit?
Kinda, like a little parody.
Heightened, sort of.
Yeah, it's heightened. It's got emotional drama, it's got comedy, it's... I don't know, and it's the closest thing to an acting, like, realistic acting approach I've ever seen in a show. I don't know, it's just so... cool. So,
like when you say a realistic acting approach.
Oh, like
as in what the character goes through.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. So what the character goes through, like a realistic what they teach in acting schools and everything.
Oh, right.
So something like they go to acting class.
They go to acting. You got to go to gold classes.
Got to go to acting classes.
What are you going to do?
You got to act. Oh, gosh.
All right, Bill, turn him over. B, quiet, everybody. Action.
I love how that abrupt that is. It's like...
Anyway, what were you saying? In acting class.
In acting class. Yeah, so they basically just go through the same, like me for acting classes. It was like my teacher was very brutal and very honest and...
Classic. That sounds so surprising.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure there's a reason why teachers do this. Is just so like let out all their shit on the students.
Yeah, but it's like I don't know, because when I was a kid, when I watched acting things, they were like so nice, and they were so like, oh yeah, like you're gonna do the scene, and you're gonna be a great kid. You're gonna do great things, and you're gonna. Aim for the stars.
Follow your dreams.
Yeah.
And all like, that jazz.
Like the Robin Williams kind of like Dead Poets Society thing. They were like very uplifting.
Oh, right.
Very, I don't know, like adventurous and out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like...
That's assuming that your teacher is like progressive and ahead of the time enough.
Yeah.
To be like still dreaming big themselves.
Yeah.
That's the problem is that like... I don't know. She's going to get controversial here.
Oh, it's okay. I get controversial. It's cool.
I'm just like mindful of how I phrase this. I think because I teach, right?
Mm-hmm.
I teach kids performing, and I think that what makes me love it and what makes me good at it is that I am kind of actively pursuing my own dreams, and this is a part of the road. That I'm traveling. This is a part of the road that I'm traveling, but it's not my final destination. It's kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so when I'm in class, I'm like, guys, you could do anything. And I genuinely mean that because I'm like going home at night telling myself, I can do anything, you know, and I'm pushing myself, and then I'm encouraging them and pushing them, and then I'm like, oh well, I could achieve that, and then so I tell them, you know, you can achieve that. But I think it's hard that, you know, I was thinking about it and I thought, oh, if I just sort of, you know, went into a slump, or all, you know, this is not going to happen for me, but like if I didn't believe in myself, or I didn't believe in the potential of my dreams, like then I would, you know, probably teach very differently, and maybe would be less encouraging to inspire them. Yeah. Because I wouldn't have that for myself. Does that make sense?
No, that makes total sense.
And I think a lot of teachers, unfortunately, can have seasons of that, or you know, or be sort of stuck in that, and then it's sort of hard
to break out.
Yeah, like hard for them to then realize that because they're limiting themselves, they're potentially not encouraging their students to dream big. Like if it's just a mirror reflection thing. Like if you dream big, if you think anything's possible, that's what you're going to teach kids. Like that's what you're going to just do. And so I know I certainly had a lot of teachers that you could tell were sort of like capped themselves, and they were like, this is it for me, like this is where I stop, and then that would be sort of what would come through in the teaching. So you know, they wouldn't be like, oh, you can achieve anything. They would be like, you're really good and you do all these things, but that's sort of it. or you know, or you can do so much, but and then like doubt would creep in, and then they would be, you know, doing what you're saying, of just like saying yeah, like more fear, doubt-based, more limiting mindsets.
I'd say like, well, my teachers certainly had were like, they were more honest to the point and brutal, but they also incorporated that with the, I mean, it's the truth and the reality. Like, if you're at this level, but we're going to push you to be this level kind of thing.
Right.
So it's like, I understand why they're doing it. I understand that teaching method. It's just more of like, oh yeah, like when I was like a kid and I saw these like acting teachers in shows and movie, it was very unrealistic to what I came to uni and did.
Right.
And it was cool.
That's so sad.
Oh, it's okay.
It's kind of sad, because it would be nice if our teachers had like, were that the replica of what you see in the movies, like inspiring mentors. Like that is what a good teacher is.
Yeah.
I think like, even, do you know, I mean, like, yes, it's sad because it's like, oh, bummer, maybe not everyone's going to meet that expectation then when you're actually growing up in the real world, like what you're saying.
Yeah.
But then I'm also so glad that they're depicted that way, because it's like, there are teachers out there like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the goal. You know what I mean? That's the aim. Like, that's what we all deserve. You know, like, that's what... Like a teacher like Whoopi Goldberg in Sister Act. You know, like that. Yeah, we all deserve that teacher.
Yeah.
If you wake up in the morning and all you want to do is sing, you got to be a singer, girl. Like, damn straight, Whoopi. Thank you very much. You know?
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, no, I feel it.
So you're enjoying watching Barry?
Yes.
It makes you laugh.
Because it makes me laugh, and
that's great.
Realistic and everything. It's a great show.
So good recommendation.
Good recommendation.
Who are you going to recommend it to?
Look, if you're into like, what's a show that I watched before? I can't remember. If you like acting,
yeah,
but you like crime as well,
yeah,
then this is like the show for you. Really,
that's cool.
Yeah, no, it's I'm probably not the
that's
person.
That's a cool mix.
Yeah, no, it's an unexpected
mix. Yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's good.
That's nice. That's awesome. All right, comedy pick me ups. Do you have any?
Oh,
like if you need a good laugh.
If I need a good laugh, I just watch The Office.
That's
everyone's, I think.
Nice. Like
it's just so, you know, the characters are just so alive. The way that Jim looks at the camera every time when he's made a coup for Michael, when he's like...
That style is great.
Yeah.
I love that style. Like, I love Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec is my jam.
Parks and Rec is good too. Yeah, with, oh, what's his name?
It's my fave.
Andy's good. And who's the boss?
It's that style. Oh, Ron.
Ron Swanson. Ah, I will not eat lettuce. It's a reference food or something.
I just think, I love that style. of shooting as well. Like that they're clocking. Yeah. And they're clocking the camera all the time. And it's just so playful and so clowny. It's
wonderful.
I really
want to see more stuff like that.
Me too. I would love to be in something like that. I'm so ready to be in like the Australian, like the spin-off of Parks and Rec kind of thing.
So like back in uni, I was like playing with the idea because I'm like, oh, look, if I can write something, maybe I can pitch it to a company.
Yeah, so
I started writing something like it.
Yeah.
In the style of, but it was like set at a Coles or a Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Woolies.
Yeah.
American. it was set in the Woolworths and it's like, it just has like different like characters. Like there's the cashiers, there's the like... Hello.
I'm just hoping our listeners haven't missed too much.
Oh yeah,
so you're just hanging back like a meter away from the mic.
Dang,
we good.
We Gucci. Oh no, no, I'm not gonna say
we
that.
We Gucci.
I'm sorry.
What? What is this self-judgment? This is a fully embraced podcast here, buddy. Gucci. Bring it all.
Gucci was only 2017. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like,
I missed that. I wasn't cool in 2017.
Me either. That's why I'm saying all things.
I didn't even know that existed. But anyway, yes. So you're writing something.
Yes, I was writing something. And it was like about the perspectives of customers, like local shoppers at Woolworths or like,
that's great.
Like the cashiers and the managers and like the day-to-day life kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just stuff like that. I thought that would be like a really great premise.
Yeah, totally.
For like an Australian office kind of thing.
Nice.
Yeah. So good that stuff. That was my cool thing. But like,
well, totally. Look, it can happen.
It's still in the
mixing pot of life, right? Yeah. Hasn't died yet. And you know, like it's good having that sort of stuff. Like, I mean, with that sort of style show, a lot of it's improv anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So you kind of, I mean, if you've got like a little bit of a storyboard, you can kind of, and some good improv actors, you can kind of wing a lot of it and just, you know, work it out that way. I think like with those sorts of series, a lot of the work would be just getting those first couple of episodes up, because once you start to see like character traits and personalities and relationship dynamics
and
come
rolling
through, it's
yeah,
fine.
It just,
like
it
you just build
through
from there, like just getting those initial kind of things
kind
happening.
Kind of like the plot device.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what are these characters?
And the dynamics between them and stuff is, because then you're just playing the same sort of thing. And then audiences love that because they like know what to expect. And
they know what to relate from.
Yeah, exactly. They know that they're that character in the situation. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. It's really great stuff. Also, you were saying that you enjoy Buster Keaton at the moment.
I do like the Buster Keaton.
How come?
So I started watching this thing on YouTube and like, I don't know, I was just going on like one of my YouTube little daily searches, the weird side of YouTube, as like people like to call it. And one of the things
Gucci
I
Tube?
We don't say that. Nobody says
we
that.
We don't say that anymore.
I'm sorry.
We don't do it.
No.
Okay. Note to self, no Gucci tube.
It can happen someday, but just not
today.
Not today.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
What were you saying?
And the video I saw was it was one of Buster Keaton's work, because I love Charlie Chaplin and I love researching Charlie Chaplin and what he does. But then I started looking at Buster Keaton because I heard that he did his own stunts.
Yeah.
And that to me was like, oh, so he's like kind of like Jackie Chan in the sense that he does his own stunts. So thing that I saw was a house where he was building a house with his wife.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. And he's just like, it's just so funny. It's so creative. I've never seen something done like this done today.
Yeah.
So comedy like that and stuff like that should still be around, but it's not. Like he's spinning the house. He's like, I don't know, the way he sits on like plank of wood.
Yep.
It's like he's trying to chop it, but then it's like falling, and then he's like, oh okay, I'm just gonna hammer it into the house and then I'm gonna sit on the far side and then I'm gonna saw it off, you know, not worrying about the gravity of situations.
Literally.
And then and then I'm like, okay, cool. And then I had to look up more. And there's this other one where it's like the railroad track.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an infamous scene where he has like a log. He's holding a log. And then there's like another log on the track where the train is like moving. And if the train goes over this log that's kind of like stuck in the tracks, the train's going to fully capsize.
Oh my God.
So what he does is he uses the log and he uses like a pulley system kind of thing, like a little gravity. And then he like pushes the log onto the other log. It flips out of the tracks. And apparently that was all done, like, live. That was all just him, all his own stunts. And that was really dangerous to do. Stuff like that, I don't
know. Apparently, I don't know if it's the same as the house one that you're talking about, but he just stands there and then the whole, like, front facade of the house falls down.
Yeah.
And he's fine because he's just standing in the doorway, but the whole facade's just come smashing down.
Yeah.
And he's just standing there.
And that's a common trope that you see today in, like, cartoons, like, little tunes and all that.
And he dodged it. Like, it was very specific in terms of, like, how much space he had to move and, like, where he had to be. And apparently it weighed like 2 tons. So he would have died if it had gone wrong.
Yikes.
It's wild. It's crazy. I was looking him up and he was saying that like he started out on vaudeville as like a young kid with his father. And he was included in his father's act.
Yeah.
And he'd just like throw him around all, like, that's how it began. He actually had the handle of a suitcase sewn to his costume for easy maneuverability. So his dad could just like pick him up whenever and throw him. So his dad would pick him up, throw him into like the orchestra pit and like throw him off stage and like massive, you know. Yeah. Massive throws. Like, he'd just go flying through the air. And apparently he was investigated for, like, you know, child abuse pretty much for what was happening on stage. But in, like, in Buster Keaton's records of it, you know, he stated that he always had a good time and he never actually got hurt. And apparently when they'd, like, come to investigate, he had no bruises, no broken bones because he was so used to just being thrown around and doing these stunts as a, like, young child that he just always landed on his feet. He knew how to land everything. He knew how to land on his hands, on his, you know, on one foot or, like, he knew how to softly land anything, like a cat.
Yeah.
And
he very that's much just resembles insane. Cat,
that is like that's just like mental. And then he's also been reported to have said that, you know, as a kid he just loved it. Like he would be flying through the air and he'd already be laughing. Like apparently his father would pick him up and throw him and he'd just be laughing before he even landed the stunt, you know?
Yeah.
It's and, mental. And it's so really funny on out that of the note, out of the lines of the norm.
And on that note as well, that's also how he got his stage name, Buster.
Yeah,
you heard this story?
No. So where did it?
Buster got the name Buster was because of one of these throwing accidents. Well, not accidents. It was all in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when he fell and everything, someone said, I think it was Houdini, but I'm not entirely sure about that. Yeah. And he's like, oh, that's quite a buster. And buster meaning fall.
Oh, right.
So he had a fall, and that's the name Buster,
adorable.
It came to fruition. So him so falling wonderful. Around everywhere, that's a buster.
It's pretty magical.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty crazy.
I mean, I'm
like,
really...
Like, that this was, like, something that was essentially training a small child to be a stunt performer. Without necessarily that intention.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he had to be because his father was throwing around on stage and obviously it was for entertainment. But, like, it just wouldn't happen nowadays.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, no, definitely.
So organically like that. It's crazy.
I mean, the last time I saw parents do something kind of like that to a kid.
Did you think of Crocodile, what's his face? Steve Irwin.
I mean,
that's
oh
what
no,
it made
I
me think of.
I didn't think of that. I thought of
the baby in front of the crocodile.
Do you remember the kid who was like experimented with the steroids and the like self-enhancing drugs by his parents?
Oh my God.
He's like the strongest kid at 13 years old.
Ooh.
And like he did movies, but like I've never seen anything like that anymore. I can't remember his name, but like,
that's creepy.
It was really bad because like the parents were just experimenting on their own kid.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't even know how I feel about Buster Keaton being thrown around. To be honest, like it's yeah. probably it's hard. You don't really know, do you? Mm. Unless like, yeah, it'd be so interesting to be a fly on the wall.
Witnessing all that.
Yeah, because it's such a, and I think that's why it's so fascinating too, because it rides this crazy line. Like if he wasn't being hurt and if he enjoyed it and if he was somehow prepared for it, like if his father trained him how to do it, you know, was it dangerous?
Oh,
was
dear,
it,
a,
you
yeah.
know what I mean? Like,
no, I get that.
That's
yeah,
why
yeah.
it's so fascinating to me, because I'm like, oh man, like, Where do you sit that? Yeah, it's crazy.
Was the mother present?
I don't know.
Did she like?
I have no idea.
Oof.
You know, sometimes it's good to just not have answers. I've decided. What was I going to say? Let's have a fun little game. Let's do it.
A little tap bit.
Yeah.
That's so cute. I love it.
Do you want to do an impro?
Yes.
Alrighty. This is based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
Buster, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just walking. What are you doing?
How'd your stunt go today?
Pretty okay. Land on both feet.
What was the stunt?
Head fallen.
Head fallen.
Yeah.
I heard you got into a run-in with some water.
Water?
Yeah.
What are you on about?
It was a water-themed stunt.
What are you on about?
The stunt that you did today.
The water with water?
In the film.
In the film?
In the film you did.
I did a stage play today.
A stage play? How'd they get water in the stage play?
Buckets.
Buckets. Oh, Buster, you crack me up. There's something not right about you today. You're looking a little bit off.
Excuse me.
A little bit off center.
Excuse me. I look perfectly...
I think it's your head.
I look perfectly fine.
Are you feeling all right?
I'm feeling...
Buster?
Yeah?
You all right there?
Yeah, I'm feeling...
Feeling a little bit concerned, Buster. I don't... I don't know if we've got a first aid kit, but I also don't know what I'd do with a first aid kit for you right now, but I know something's not right.
I
can you say your ABCs?
A, B, C, D, E, F.
It's F, G.
F, G.
Oh, no. Oh, your head's hanging right off.
By golly, it is.
I think it was that stunt you did, Buster.
Oh, jeez. Oh, jeez. Oh, I'll be fine by tomorrow morning.
Are you going to do anything about that, or are you...
Just a band-aid.
Oh, it's getting lower. You might want to pick your head up off of the ground, Buster.
Nah, it does that.
It does. Is this a new level of flexibility, or...
Stunts on the next level.
Oh, my God. Did your father teach you how to do that?
No comment.
Oh, Buster, it's completely dislodged itself.
Oh, dear.
I don't know how you're still talking. Buster, I think you should go to the doctor.
Right. Here I go.
Okay, you heading? You going now?
Heading.
Oh, Buster, that's the piano.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. I think it was definitely the stunt.
Oh, God.
And that is all, folks. It's been lovely to have you here for part one of two episodes with you, Jack. Do you have anything to say to our beautiful listeners?
Man, I am so awkward. I apologize.
I really hope that you know, that's the perfect recipe, you know, with comedy. I think I've been really fascinated recently watching a bunch of stand-up specials on Netflix. You know what I'd recommend? The new John Mulaney.
Yeah.
New John Mulaney special. Yes, thank you. Brilliant. He literally just has a big old joke within a joke within a joke within a joke. Like, he's just brilliant. His mind is fully seasoned with Italian spice. Is he Italian?
I don't think.
He's Jewish.
Jewish.
Some kind of spice. It's spiced up.
He's a spicy man. That's exactly like, what he is.
Like, seriously. And, you know, because he was a writer for an SNL.
Yeah.
So he's just fully seasoned. And he's just brilliant.
Fully seasoned and all that spice.
Oh, my gosh. It's so inspiring. Watch it. You want to write comedy. That's my recommendation. The new John Mulaney special. Also, I really enjoyed the new Whitney Cummings special.
I heard that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And I think, I forget where I was going with this. Yeah. What I've been recently just like fascinated with again is just like how really good comedians and comics sit in the awkwardness pocket. Like they just sit in uncomfortable, which was what made me think to say this was that you were saying that you were uncomfortable. And like that's the recipe. So like hopefully that worked for us in this case. And if it didn't, oops, don't know how we screwed that one up. Because that's a thing. So I'm trying to mess with that. Just get more uncomfortable more often and stay in it. Enjoy making other people feel uncomfortable.
No, it's okay. It's good. It's good.
It's great.
That's great.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Like you don't get away with that in regular life.
Yeah.
You know, I just really want to make people feel uncomfortable. You know? Like real.
It's good.
Like really uncomfortable.
It's working.
Yeah, are you feeling that discomfort?
A little bit.
Great.
Yeah. Good. I think it might be the smell too, but it's like...
The smell.
I'm smelling something, but it's something rotten in the state of Denmark.
It's me. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and we will see you in the next episode. Have a lovely day, listeners. It's been awesome having you tune in. Stay in good humor. Make each other laugh. Gosh, do it or else. Make each other laugh.
That's
make
a threat for what are you? Laugh or else.
I'm going to follow up. Laugh at yourselves. Don't take your telf. Don't take your telf seriously.
Those telfs.
Don't take your telf seriously, funny. Guys. Don't do it.
Telf.
It's okay?
Telf.
Did you ever do that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Just put the same letter in front of every word.
Yep. I still do that as a working, functioning adult, you know? He never stopped.
Oh, my God. I'm just having a flashback. I remember one Easter time when me and all my cousins spoke only with the – every word that we spoke was with the word R in front of it. And we did it for like...
Maybe that's where the pirate came.
For hours. Okay, like, so ask me something.
Okay.
I have to try and keep a straight face too, because that's what makes it fun. If you can see his face, it's great. Damn it. I'm sorry that this isn't a webisode.
It's a beautiful face. Thank you very much.
Oh, me? Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Ask me a question.
Okay. What's your favorite cartoon?
I don't even know. Let me think about that for a sec.
I got it now.
Oh, I don't. I can't do it. Okay, I can't. I believe. Okay.
Right.
Wait. Rye Raverett, Ratoon, Riz, Rabrina, Raritnage Rich. You gotta do it, guys. It's so funny. It's just stupid. It makes no sense. I don't get why it makes me laugh. You but know, it's stupid, so it's funny.
You said it's so much like Scooby-Doo then.
Okay, you try one. You try one, but with the letter... W.
Oh no, what have you done? Okay. Oh, I'm gonna sound like Jonathan Ross.
Alrighty. That was the wrong one. Damn it.
Alright, Bill, turn him over. B. What is everybody?
I kind of mixed together.
All right, when the train stops, you begin. Go.
What would I...
Oh, yeah, I got to ask you a question. What's your favorite? Okay, if you could go to a desert island,
what
would you take with you? If you could, you could take like 10 things.
A water wobble.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, continue. Best episode yet. I really, P.S., if you're listening and you're a camera person, if you have cameras, video / sound experience, I want someone to be able to come into these podcasts and do a visual so we can put it on YouTube as well. So if that's you, hit me up, bitch. And back to you, Jack. What are you taking to a desert island, whack?
Well, whack.
No, seriously. Serious.
A wall by a wall.
A what?
A wall by a wall.
Okay. Would you have reception?
A wall by a wet one.
You don't need to put it before every syllable.
A wop 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 wop.
This is a great Muppet character. This is great for clowning as well. Take notes. Okay, keep going, go.
Why?
Oh, Wi-Fi. Yeah, what else?
I could just say Wi-Fi. Why?
What else did you take?
One roll. What?
What? It's just one W, dude.
Okay,
just
I know.
Just one W at the beginning of the word. If you do it on every syllable, I don't know what you're saying.
But it's better this way.
Okay. What else are you taking? What else are you waking?
A Nintendo. What?
A what?
And then a Nintendo Witch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. What else?
A Wadawi.
What?
A Wadawi.
Like a battery? Cool.
A wet.
A wet.
A wet. Like a jet. Or a where we cocked. Where we cocked.
I love those helicopters. Yeah.
A walt. It's a boat. I'm just trying to think of ways to get off this island.
Yeah. Two more and then you're off.
Oh, yes. A glass of wine. It's a plug
you
for the
say
club.
A was of wine.
A was of wine.
One more.
Oof. Oof.
No, that's wolf. It's wolf to you.
A walk, which is a dog. A walk.
Not an offensive name for a race.
Oh no! Ah! I didn't mean it like that. Whoa.
It's a dog. It's okay.
It's a dog. It's a dog. A walk. A walk. A dog. I shouldn't really be talking like this.
No, we should stop.
I sound like
before Jonathan. We offend any more people.
I sound like Jonathan Wass. We'd be wappy wappits. Shh, we're very, very quiet. I'm going to catch me a wacky wabbit. So bad.
So reminds me of does that happen with like the mobster, like the gangsters?
Yeah, they kind of talk like that wop wop wop.
You watch yourself.
You wabbit silly.
You what? You're going. Going. No, I don't know.
We got Jimmy the Snitch. Wait, no, that's what. That.
We're experimenting on there.
Experimenting. This is humor experiment.
This is all an experiment.
Yeah.
It's a big old joke. Alrighty, guys. No, seriously. This time we're going. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, true. We said we're going, right? Yeah, whoops. Yeah.
Sorry. Worry.
Sorry.
Worry about that.
I'm sorry.
Worry about that.
I'm sorry, I panted.
Okay, we're going.
Bye.
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 Bye. Stay in good humor. Stay awesome. See you next week. Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. B
I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.